Create Your Own Life, episode 47.
So I just want to let you guys in on a little secret that tripled our social media following in just 7 days. Social media can be a huge asset to promoting your brand or product and is part of doing business in a new millennium. It is time to start. iBoom Media, founded by Justin Matthew, not only gets real followers, but real results. Call iBoom today at 877-223-9552 or go to www.iboommedia.com.
Hey, what is up, Life Creation Nation? Jeremy Ryan Slate here, and this is episode number 46 of the Create Your Own Life podcast. And I wanted to do a couple housekeeping things before we get into today's episode. First being, I just got back from a 7-day business convention, and I'm absolutely blown out of my mind with all the things that I am applying now to the Create Your Own Life podcast to make it much better for you guys in terms of what you're getting, what you're going to achieve, and where it's going to help you go. So I'm going to need a little bit of input from you guys. I actually put together a survey in Google Forms, and I need you guys just to check it out and fill in your responses. They help me to create a better show for you. You can check that out over at jeremyryanslate.com/survey. Once again, that's jeremyryanslate.com/survey. And that's going to really help me to create a better show for you guys because I want to give you the most usable information that I can give you. But without your input, I can't really do that. So if you guys check out jeremyryanslate.com/survey, I'm going to be able to really give you guys what you're looking for. So I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to give me a little more than what you see in that survey, send me an email at podcast@jeremyryanslate.com. But without further ado, let's get into our guest for today. His name is Luis Congdon, and he is the co-host of the Thriving Launch podcast about creating an amazing business that's really going to launch and get out there. He is also the creator of the Podcaster Secret Weapon, which teaches you how to build, create, and monetize a podcast. Luis is going to give us his journey today, where he went from sleeping on a friend's couch to creating the business of his dreams. Really exciting. And not only that, if you're somebody like myself that's interested in podcasting, he's going to talk today about creating and monetizing a podcast. So really exciting today what Luis is going to bring to us. So without further ado, our interview with Luis Congdon. So Luis Congdon, welcome to the Create Your Own Life podcast.
Hey, thank you. It's awesome to be here.
Awesome, man. So we actually connected through you reaching out to me through my website. So totally awesome to have you on the show today, Luis. So could you kind of just at least let the listeners know a little bit about what you do, and we'll get into your personal story in just a second.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the primary things that I do is I help online business people have strategies that allow them to create content and market themselves so that people, you know, so they'll build raving fans.
And you're going to talk quite a bit today, you know, in addition to your personal story about really building a podcast and things like that. And I think that's really cool for somebody to really use that to leverage their personal brand. That's one of the things I've really used it to do.
Yeah, you know, I gave you kind of a different answer than I normally would in regards to what I do, because a lot of times I say, you know, I'm a podcaster, but podcasting isn't exactly the thing that I do, because while I podcast, I'm really actually helping other people learn how to podcast, optimize their website, you know, really hone in on their copywriting and build an online business that succeeds. And podcasting is an arm of that.
Awesome. So you do have a couple pretty successful podcasts out there now. I know we just talked about, you said you're working on something else that's coming out pretty soon, but kind of let's backtrack a little bit and go back to the beginning of this entrepreneurial journey for you and kind of just take us along with you and kind of share a little bit of the story of your experience, that what brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. You know, my journey kind of begins with having a an incredible job. Yeah, as far as my journey goes in the entrepreneurial world, it does begin with having this amazing job that I absolutely loved, having it end, and having done PhD level work with just a bachelor's degree, you know, through some kind of loopholes in a sense. I was able to do PhD level work without all the proper certifications for it. And once that job ended, I became, in a sense, just incapable of holding down a job. You know, I'd either get fired or just underperform and be unhappy and leave the job. Something would end up happening, because once you've done work that you love and you're serving a purpose, it's very hard to do a 9-to-5 grind for someone else and not show up every day feeling like, man, this is making a difference, you know? And then on top of that, feeling like, you know, the harder I work and the more that I'm showing up, you know, the bigger the rewards and the more I get paid. And that stuff is important to me, you know? And I think those are key aspects of any entrepreneurial minded, spirited person, is that, you know, you'd like to be rewarded according to the amount of work that you're putting in, and money is one of the ways that that's reflected. And you'd like to know that you're building a dream that is personally satisfactory. It's not just someone else's vision for you and not just someone else telling you how to show up, but it's something that's really deeply personal and drives a passion. You know, you're driven beyond just clocking in and clocking out. So, you know, I became unhirable and practically unemployable. And I got to a place where I was sleeping in, you know, on my friend's couch, sometimes would sleep in my car, a few times slept in a park. Things got really bad. And I got to this place where it was like, okay, something's got to give, because I can't keep living this way. You know, I hit my rock bottom. And so I came into the entrepreneurial world and utilized podcasting as a way to really catapult myself, you know, in many ways to the forefront of various niches, because podcasting is just this really powerful tool.
Absolutely. So let's kind of get into that a little bit now. You've been podcasting for how long now, Luis?
Yeah, I've been podcasting for just a little over a year now.
Let's kind of get into that. If somebody really wants to podcast like a pro, you know, how do they start out? How do they scale it? You know, what's that really like? What's that process like? Take us along that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, most people in life, when they want to do something like a pro, they're going to have to do it like a child at first, you know?
Sure.
But, I mean, for me, the process is really just thinking about, you know, what do you want to be known for? What kind of people would you like to interview? What kind of impact would you like? And you start with that, and then you start reaching out to the kinds of people you really love to interview. You know, you get some microphone equipment and all of that. And over at podcastersecretweapon.com, we have all that stuff where we just kind of walk you through that whole process, you know, and really just start with the passion. I think that podcasting isn't going to work if it isn't a passion. And I think business in general probably won't work if it isn't a passion, because, you know, it's a kind of actually interesting to tie something in. The word passion actually comes from the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. And I think to some degree, if you're going to live your passion, you also sometimes have to be willing to suffer for it, you know, because this podcasting thing hasn't always been easy. You know, when I first started podcasting, I was on my friend's couch. He didn't have internet, so I'd have to go over to like a local university, borrow a friend's, you know, password, log in, interview people from like these rooms inside of a university. And that's how it started for me. And I think that, you know, if you're going to do anything in life, you have to be willing to put some skin in the game. And sometimes that means you will have to suffer a little bit for it.
Absolutely. And I think for myself, this is actually my second go round at a podcast. And one of the biggest things I picked up that I think I was missing the first time, and I think a lot of people are missing, and I think you'll agree with this, is the estimation of effort it's actually going to take, you know, to make it happen. Can you speak a little bit to that? You know, the amount of work it's actually going to take to really do this thing right.
You know, you're going to be doing a lot of work to do this thing right. I mean, a lot of people will see images of me, you know, like maybe holding up a check. I recently received close to $1,000 for a 30-minute interview that I did. And the total time that it took me to book the interview, do the interview, and put out the interview was about an hour. you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's, people go, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, I want to make about $1,000 an hour. That'd be amazing. You know, if I could just do that a few times a month, that'd be incredible. That could replace my job. But the deal is I've worked tirelessly for, you know, 7-8 months to get to a place where it only takes me an hour to book, do, and release an interview. But it used to take me 3 to 4 or 5 hours to do that whole process. So this isn't something that just happened overnight, because, you know, when you're first starting, booking a guest can be really hard, especially when you don't have a name. They're going to ask you all sorts of questions, and, you know, how many downloads you have, what kind of guests have you had, what is your email list like? And when you're first starting, you're going to have to be creative about how you respond to stuff like that. And those are some of the challenges that will come up. And then once you've been around for a while, people don't ask you those questions. Yeah, let's get you on the – they'll come on the show. Then you do the interview, you know, and then you can afford to have someone else edit it for you. But when you're first starting, you're going to have to do all of that whole thing to yourself. And I do 90% of the whole process myself. I just don't edit my shows anymore.
Mm. Well, let's kind of go along that. So we have our new podcaster has their show. They've got all their equipment. How do they then scale? You know, let's say that those first 8 weeks they're on iTunes, if they're lucky enough to be in iTunes New and Noteworthy, you know, the iTunes helps to promote them. But then how do they scale? Because there's probably going to be some drop off after they're not featured anymore.
You know, some people see that there's a drop off after being in New and Noteworthy. And so it's really great to capitalize on that time, because you are kind of more in the forefront and getting more visual impressions, which could lead to more downloads. Scaling, for me anyways, like, scaling is a process of doing the things that got you there to begin with, but doing those consistently and just playing bigger.
And how would you do that? How would you scale it and reach more listeners?
You know, one of the ways you do it is you get your guests to promote for you. Which is quite an art in of itself. I mean, you know, like yesterday we had a guest with 50,000. He's got an email of 50,000 plus people. If he emails out to his list, which most people aren't going to email out for you. It's a very tactful art to get them to do it. I mean, you know, to give you an example, mm-hmm. some of my guests, for one of my guests that's come on my show, you know, the day that he came on my show, he was doing like 8-9 interviews that day. And so to ask him to email, there's a lot of competition. I mean, there's 8-9 other shows that are going to be asking him the same favor. And he can't, like, it would be ridiculous if, you know, this person for 2-3 weeks straight was like, check me out on this show, on this show, on this show, on this show. So there has to be a way that you build enough value that they're going to email out for you. Now, I share for people. Any show that I'm on, I always share. But I have to decide, I have to pick and choose where I'm going to share, because, you know, right now I get approached a lot to be on interviews. And so there's a certain kind of carefulness that has to be considered between me and that show. I definitely want to promote every single person, but I also can't, like, I couldn't go into my Facebook group of, you know, close to 1,000 people and post, hey, I was on the show, like, every single day. I can't go into Twitter and do that. I can't go into my email and do that. I can't go into my LinkedIn and do that. So I have to spread it out to make sure that everybody gets some love from me. But I also have to, you know, make sure that the audiences in these different spaces aren't getting overwhelmed.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, how do you be that person that offers more value to get that sent out to a list or get promoted on social media? What kind of a tip could you give our listeners on that?
Well, one of my first tips would just be treat your guests really well. You know, make sure that they have a good experience with you. You know, treat them like their friend or family. And there's some more strategies, but when you're first starting out, you know, the first strategy that you want to use when you're new to this is really make that person feel great and put yourself out there and say, you know, like after the interview, hey, is there some sort of way that I can help you? You know, let me know. Or if you see some sort of need that you can meet. That's one of the first things I did when I was first getting started, is every single guest that I had on my show, I would try, and, you know, before the interview, to figure out some sort of need that they had and meet that need before they even asked for it. so that by the time I ask for something, they're just like, yeah, definitely, you know. But, you know, like when you get somebody like Don Miguel Ruiz, a guy who, you know, seems to go on Oprah like at least once or twice a year for the past several years, he's been doing that, and he's a New York Times bestseller. You know, just one book has been like on NY bestselling list for like over 10 years.
Wow.
He, you know, having him share is great, but the truth of it is just having him on the show is fantastic. And so you have to kind of find a balance between how much you ask people too.
Totally. And I think that's really something that Life Creation Nation could take away from what you're saying, is really be a person of giving value, you know, before you're really going to ask for something. That's awesome, Luis. So now that we've built our show, we've learned how to scale it a little bit, you know, how do we make this something we can make an income off of as a podcaster? How can you actually make some money off this show?
Well, you know, every single show that you do, you should always be selling something, have some sort of affiliate offer, sell something of your guests if possible. Always be selling. I mean, it's just, if you're going to be a business person, that's part of your motto. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm always going to try to sell, like hardcore sell. There's just there's different varieties of selling. And so I really am a proponent of always be selling. Just, you know, there's different levels. Like, you know, someone comes on my show, we do an interview. I don't really sell my audience while I'm doing the interview, but they're inside my show notes. I always sell something. There's always like, grab this book, grab this program, check out this course, and check out this other thing. And I don't just sell one or two things. I sell my thing on a show. I sell the guest thing on the show. I sell a few books maybe from Amazon. Maybe I sell like affiliate links for like Hootsuite or you know, Buffer, different programs. So that's something you want to be doing every single time. And then you also want to make sure that you're collecting emails. You know, get really good at understanding what drives, how traffic operates inside your website, so that you're collecting those emails and then send out those emails and make sales inside those emails, and use Facebook to make sales and use Twitter to make sales. But every time you drive someone to your website, there should be an opportunity, because selling is really a gift. You know, if Jeremy, if I brought you into my life and I offered you the opportunity to take a podcasting course that could make you $100 from every interview, that would be life-changing, wouldn't it?
Sure.
And wouldn't you consider it would actually be a gift to you if I just was like, Jeremy, I really think you should get this program, take a look, try it out, and man, you're going to be making some extra money from this. And, you know, I kind of pushed it on you a little bit. Wouldn't it be a gift if then you're like, well, all right, screw it, I'll buy it. And you bought it and you started making like $200-$300 a month from your podcast. Wouldn't you then later go, wow, that guy gave me a gift?
Yeah, totally.
This is the reconditioning of our mind that if we're going to be in business needs to happen, that, you know, us offering our services to people doesn't have to be like a kind of like a, I don't know, just an uneasy feeling around like a car salesman or someone trying to sell us something we don't want. We don't have to be that guy, but we can also be the guy like, hey guys, I'm over here. If you want to crush it on podcasting, I have this podcasting course, and check out, you know, my client just got 20,000 downloads. He learned all the strategies. I want you to have that same success. Now, I don't have 10 hours to sit down with you every single day, you know, for a month, but get the course and you will have those same results. I don't feel like that's at all like a bad thing to do. And if I was going to teach people new in business, a lesson is the first lesson that you have to do is that your time is valuable. You deserve to be paid, and it's okay for you to offer people your services. I mean, that's really one of the biggest things that's helped me to grow in business. And I've had 3 sales coaches now. You know, I've done some work with Ryan Stuman, who from Hardcore Closer, David Anderson from Nitro Sales, and Eric Lofholm from Eric Lofholm. And these guys have worked with some of the best. I mean, Eric Lofholm has worked with Anthony Robbins, just to give you an idea.
Sure.
And I've had to put a lot of time and effort into understanding that sales doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, when I worked in nonprofit and I was trying to get a homeless person inside a shelter and get them off drugs and alcohol and just get them to spend one night inside the shelter, I had to really hardcore sell that person. But, you know, take that person, and now let's fast forward them a few months later, and I come into one of like the nicer shelters, and I go to the same woman who's been struggling, and now she's, you know, been doing AA. It's been like 6 months or whatever it's been, you know, and this is a true story. This woman came from, you know, our very low security shelter, sleeping on a like a little mattress on the floor that we'd have to fold up every morning and wipe the floors down, and then, you know, put them in the corner, and it was a church, you know, like a play area for kids in a church, and do that every single night. And this woman did that for months, and then later she got to stay in our nicer shelter, which she had her own bed and locker. And then after she held a job for a little while, I'd actually gotten a donation big enough from a donor that allowed me to come in and tell this woman, hey, you've been holding a job. I see that you've been saving. You've been meeting with us regularly. And I told you about this apartment building, and you said you were interested in living there. We talked about it. Well, guess what? I just paid for 12 months of rent for you.
Wow.
And it's taken care of. Deposits taken care of. We've got a moving van that's going to come and grab some stuff for you because we know you have storage. We're going to move you in. We also have a place that's going to give you some new furniture and everything. And I've taken care of your rent so that for the next year, you can just work and save money, because after that, we won't be able to help you. How's that sound? And she's like crying, you know, giving me a hug. But do you know how hard I had to work to make sure this lady was accountable and coming to our meetings and, you know, and telling her what's best for her? And I think sales is a form of that.
Sure.
You know, and we have a bad idea of what sales is. And this is me talking about kind of my own epiphany and my biggest breakthrough, because I am giving a gift to people now that is really incredible. I mean, for me, podcasting saved my life, you know, in some ways. I mean, I think that's sounds kind of cheesy, but it's kind of true too. Like, you know, when I was sleeping on my friend's couch and would sleep in my car, like when I knew I was waking up that morning to interview 19-time Oprah guest Dr. Harville Hendricks, you know, and life sucked for me, but it was so exciting to know I had that one interview and to finish up that interview and then have him say, hey, why don't you come out to New York? I'm going to give you a scholarship and you can come out to my 3-day course and it's going to be taken care of. You just come out. And it's like, whoa, podcasting can really make a difference, you know. And I've gone now to where, because of podcasting, I can have months where I'm making $10,000+ in a month because podcasting has really carved the way for me.
Awesome. Well, let's kind of backtrack a little bit and talk about that moment that really flipped the script for you. You were saying that it was something you really had to learn, you know, to handle. Let's get into that a little bit.
What allowed me to handle kind of the leap from 9 to 5 to basically becoming an entrepreneur? That's essentially what you're asking, right?
Sure.
Well, you know, having supports. I created a community because I know that one of the biggest things about having success, you know, when we look at resilience studies, when we look at successful stories, what we'll find is that every single person who's ever really been successful has had at least one like super fan in their corner, whether it be their mom, their dad, their husband, their wife, their sister, their brother, their best friend. They have at least one person in their corner that is really supporting them. And a lot of times what we'll also find is they have a coach, you know, they have some sort of mentor, and mentors are everywhere. I mean, right now, if you're listening to the show, I'm your mentor for a moment. You know, if you pick up a book by somebody, they're your mentor for that moment. So mentors are everywhere. You know, I've gotten tons of coaching and I've been able to leverage that because I'm very good at finding ways to basically never say to myself, I can't afford this, but instead, how? You know, so I found a lot of mentors and I created a community. You know, if you go inside of Facebook, Jeremy, I hope you're a part of that community with, you know, 600 plus, I think we're at like 700 something members now.
Wow.
And it's all podcasters. And inside that community began as a passion of mine. I started free. I was part of a podcasting course that cost like close to $2,000. And I just thought, you know, this is ridiculous, like $2,000 to learn how to do this. Like, you know what? No, I'm going to start my own community. It's going to be free so that people, you know, it's going to be exclusive. Like, you can't just join. Like, it's not just open, but mm-hmm. it's open to people to come and join. And what I'm going to do is make it free so that people that are like me, that at one point were sleeping in their friend's couch and podcasting was the way for them, they can join this community. They can come and show up and give value and have something that really saves them and gives them something spectacular. And it can be free for them. And then, you know, as they build themselves up, they can buy my products and services later. That's fine. And so I built that community and surrounded myself with really incredible people. I mean, right now, one of our members gets over 1 million downloads a month from his podcast.
Wow. You know,
and we're running a webinar together, completely free to the community. And yes, at the end of the webinar, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to join a paid course because, well, of course, it's my passion and it's a kind of like, in a sense, my evangelism. Like, hey, if you're out here podcasting and you're getting like 100 or 200 downloads a day and that's not satisfactory, then you can join my course and I'll teach you how to triple, quadruple those downloads. But here's the deal. One of my shows currently will get maybe 100 downloads a day, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Like one of the shows, my business show, doesn't do huge numbers. But what it does is it gets a huge response from the listeners. You know, so I would rather have an audience of 100 listeners and have 10 of them give me $100 every single day than have 50,000 listeners a day and not get anything.
Sure.
Right. And so that's my show for you. You know, my business show is highly responsive. The people love what they're listening to. They send me messages. They're excited. They request certain guests to come on the show. You know, they follow me on Facebook. They're fans. And that's what we want. And that's another thing that we give you inside the course. And we're giving you today, like, you know, focus on building numbers, not based on numbers, but numbers of people that really love and are excited about what you're doing, because that's what I would rather have as a business person, is 5 amazing clients compared to 10,000 followers on Twitter and none of them really care about what's going on, or at least none of them buy. And I'm a business person, you know. Sure. I want to impact people, but I also want those. Part of the way that I measure if my business is working is the dollars coming in. And that's, you know, I have to. It's the part of the business model. Like, I don't eat if I don't count those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, before we move on, let's kind of look at that monetization again. And I'm curious, since you've worked with a lot of people, what have you seen as the least successful method of monetization out there?
The least successful is like just trying to write a whole bunch of companies and ask them if they will be sponsors for your show. Sponsorship is the holy grail of podcasting, and I think it's great. You know, one of my peers and one of the case studies that we did, you know, right off the bat before he even had a show, he was making a little over $1,000 a month from a sponsor, which was really awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, but he's a very rare case study because he went into Facebook, wrote a message saying, hey, I got this show, it's named this, we're having some incredible guests, hasn't released yet. And would you like to be a sponsor? Would you like to sponsor this mission that we have? He got a message from somebody saying, yeah, we would. And they signed up to be a sponsor for a show that wasn't even released yet.
Wow. You
know? That is probably the most unlikely scenario that will happen. But still, why not do it? The thing about having success in anything in life is study the oddities, you know, study the outliers, mimic them, and then study the norm. And mimic them and see what happens, because most people won't go into Facebook. Most people won't go into Google and search for companies and send them messages and land them as sponsors. But another guy, Jason Zook, within the first 12 weeks of launching his podcast, he had made over 40,000 directly through his show. You know, and he's an outlier. But we interviewed him because he's weird. Like, that's a weird case study. Like, how did he do it? Can we mimic any of that? Even if it just makes me $1,000, I'll take it, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll keep building on it. And so study the outliers. But the most successful way of getting a sponsor is usually wait until you're getting at least 1,000 to like 1,500 or 2,000 or 3,000 downloads a day. Once you're hitting numbers like that, you can go to a sponsor and say, hey, look, we're getting 50, 60,000 hits. And this is the kind of audience we're getting. It's very, you know, it's very niche specific. You know, and people will be interested, because let's say I have a show about knitting and it's only doing 10,000 downloads a month. Well, that's 10,000 people listening to a show about knitting. That's not somebody like, you know, passively turning on the radio to listen to Cube 93. Cube is a station here in Seattle.
Sure.
That plays hip hop. When I listen to hip hop, that's a very passive thing, and everybody and their mom is listening to hip hop nowadays. So if you put on a knitting commercial or beer commercial for that radio station, I'm not a beer drinker, but I like listening to Jay-Z. You know, I enjoy listening to rap. But now if I'm on a knitting show and they're like, check out this knitting product, well, I will never listen to a knitting show because I don't knit. But if I did, it means that I knit and I actually care. So then if you market to me, it's very specific. So sponsorships can be quite interesting when you start thinking about through a podcast, you're getting a very specific type of audience.
Sure.
You know? And but that's a hard strategy to go after sponsors is arduous, and I have yet to meet a single person that has told me otherwise. It's time consuming, you know, making a media kit, reaching out to these companies, and they're going to ask you questions, then you're going to respond, then they might drop off, so then you have to message them again, and it's a really, you know, you're really like chasing after them. I know, you know, Nathan Latka from Rising Top Entrepreneurs, who's in our Facebook group, he gets over 1 million listens a month, and he messaged me, and we talked about sponsors, and he said, dude, they're knocking down my door. But of course they are, because you're getting over a million listens a month. Like, that is pretty damn special, and he did that in less than 6 months. He was getting those numbers.
That's incredible. Awesome. Well, before we move on to some rapid-fire questions here, Luis, what one thing would you tell our listeners that are considering a podcast, if they decide to move forward with it, what one thing would you tell them to focus on?
I'd say focus on being consistent and having fun, because when you first start, it's going to be a lot of work, but you're not going to build any kind of traction unless you're consistently putting out content, and you're not going to want to do that if you're not having fun. So you kind of need to have – those two are almost synonymous to me at first.
Absolutely. Well, Luis Congdon, are you ready for some rapid-fire questions?
Let's make it happen.
Awesome, man. Do you have a quote that you've leaned on through your success?
You know, there's a quote by the poet Hafiz who says, "The words that we speak become the house that we live in." And for me, that quote is awesome because your thoughts and your words create realities.
Awesome. That is powerful. Cool. What about a book that's had a great effect on your life?
You know, there's been a really great book that I enjoy, and it is called Conscious Loving. It's one of my favorite books, and it's all about relationships.
Awesome. Well, if you could talk to your younger self and give him one piece of advice, what would that be?
Remember to have more fun.
Absolutely.
Enjoy yourself.
That's one thing, man. I think a lot of us just take things too seriously. We got to enjoy the moment. Totally.
That's right.
Awesome. So people have very different definitions of success, Luis, but what is success for you?
Success for me is my ability to feel happiness and love at any given moment. The more I feel that, the more success I'm having.
Absolutely. So Luis, you have totally rocked the show today, and you've gave our listeners a lot of great information. You know, if they're interested in checking out some of your courses, if they want to connect with you, where can they do that?
ThrivingLaunch.com. I house everything. You can find me on social media through there. You can write me a message through there. You can pick up a course on how to create a digital product. You can pick up the podcaster's secret weapon and really get the inside scoop on podcasting and join the podcasting community that I have on Facebook. Everything is there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Luis. You are awesome.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy.
Awesome. Luis Congdon totally rocked the Create Your Own Life podcast. So I really recommend you guys check out thrivinglaunch.com and check out everything that Luis has going on, as well as checking out the Podcaster's Secret Weapon on Facebook. There is a link in the show notes to that. I've been a member of that community for a little over a month now, and I've really gotten so much value out of all the interaction I've had with Luis and the people in that group. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, please help us out by checking out jeremyryanslate.com/survey and filling out that quick survey just so I can get your input on what you think of the show and how the show can be better. Rock on, everybody.